Hey folks, this is Scott Reeder, founder of Suspect Convictions. If you listen to my podcast, I know you like to learn about court cases. Well, there's a new podcast out there that I think you're really going to like. It's called Legal Wars. And it's about some of the most high-profile legal cases in the United States over the last several decades. If you want to know what's going on behind the scenes, just tune into this podcast. I think you're really going to love it. Again, its name is Legal Wars.
Larry Silverstein sits in his private town car, tapping his foot impatiently.
Come on.
Silverstein's one of the most prominent real estate developers in all of New York. He's always on the go, always busy. And just recently, he's been busier than normal. Right now, there are a lot of meetings he really should be at. But his wife insisted he go to this dermatologist appointment.
She laid down the law. I couldn't argue with her.
We're nearly there, Mr. Silverstein. Outside Silverstein's car window, it's a crisp summer day in New York. There's not a cloud in sight.
Hello?
It's one of his business associates calling from the lobby of the World Trade Center.
What? I can't hear you. Plane? When? Which tower?
Silverstein can't believe it. He rushes to his office on Fifth Avenue. From his office window, he sees the second plane flying low towards the World Trade Center. It's September 11th, 2001, a day Larry Silverstein and the world will never forget.
Plane has crashed into the World Trade Center. Plane
hitting the World
President
Trade
is heading
Center.
Back to Washington.
Everyone was running out of the
Pentagon
building.
Is being evacuated.
As the news reports come in, Silverstein feels numb with shock. If it wasn't for his doctor's appointment that morning, he would most likely have been up there on the top of the North Tower when the first plane struck. His children, Roger and Lisa, have narrowly avoided being there too, just because they were running late to meetings. But more than 50 of his employees were in the towers that morning. And one of them is standing in his office door. She's covered in dust.
Do you need anything? How'd you get out?
We ran down dozens and dozens of flights of stairs. There was so much smoke, I couldn't breathe. We just kept walking and walking and walking.
Silverstein's whole body is shaking. Around him, employees are frantically trying to call loved ones. At 9:59 a.m., the South Tower collapses. The North Tower follows at 10:28 a.m. In the afternoon, Silverstein gets a call from the fire department.
Mr. Silverstein, World Trade Center 7 is going to collapse as well.
By the end of the day, 3,000 people have died. Among them, four of Silverstein's employees. Silverstein has more than a personal stake in the events of 9/11. Just 6 weeks before the attacks, he'd signed a 99-year lease to the World Trade Center complex. That's 10 million square feet of office space worth $3.2 billion. The press will later call it the worst timing in American history for a business deal. And the battle over how to rebuild the site will pit Silverstein and his insurers against one another in the largest insurance case New York City has ever seen. From Wondery, I'm Hill Harper, and this is Legal Wars. September 11th, 2001 was a terrible day in American history. Thousands of lives were lost, and the country was changed forever. Today, we're starting a new two-episode series on the financial and legal storm that erupted around the event, even before the shock of what had happened began to sink in. For Larry Silverstein, the man who had just signed a lease on the World Trade Center property, The massive tragedy also came with a business dilemma, one that ended in a court battle that dragged on for years. Before we get to that fateful day, let's meet Larry Silverstein. He's a scrappy New York real estate guy. He built his company, Silverstein Properties, from the ground up. In the 1970s, he bought up a number of large office buildings in Midtown and Lower Manhattan, and won a bid to construct 7 World Trade Center, just north of the World Trade Center site in 1980. The towers have held a special place in Silverstein's heart ever since they first appeared on the Manhattan skyline in the late 1960s.
The observation deck at the top of the World Trade Center. If you think the view from inside is spectacular, wait till you get outside to the roof. It's breathtaking.
Silverstein had spent his childhood gazing at the skyline and his adulthood adding to it. Not everyone likes the buildings. From the get-go, they have been compared to boxes and filing cabinets, but Silverstein never saw them that way. Plus, they make a very attractive business opportunity. But he doesn't own the towers. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey does. They're a government agency that owns the land that the towers are built on. When they put the towers up for lease in 2000, Silverstein is ready with a bid. It's the biggest of his career, and he's in the running against companies with more money and more infrastructure than Silverstein Properties. During the bidding process, Silverstein gushes praise for the development.
Mr. Silverstein, do you care to comment on your bid? Why are you interested in the World Trade Center?
There is nothing comparable to the World Trade Center. It is unique in magnitude, location, prominence, and visibility.
Then right in the middle of the bidding war, on January 25th, 2001, a little before 10 p.m., disaster strikes. Silverstein is crossing East 57th Street near Madison Avenue when he's hit by a drunk driver. He's rushed to the hospital in agony, unable to move his leg. Later, Silverstein's in the hospital bed, a whirl of doctors and advisors around him. His hip has been fractured in multiple places. The doctors give him morphine for the pain, but he's got something else on his mind. His bid for the Twin Towers. From his hospital bed, he's on the phone with an employee.
We need a final number, Larry.
I know.
We're running out of time.
Cut the painkiller, would you? I need to think.
The morphine drip is cut. It's down to business. From the hospital bed, he consults with his team of advisors and makes his offer for $3.2 billion. And then he waits. It's not enough. Another company, Vornado, just beats him with a bid of $3.25 billion, the largest deal for a single piece of real estate ever. Silverstein has missed out. His dream of owning the Twin Towers remains just that, a dream. But as the weeks go on, the deal with Vornado starts to look shaky, and Larry Silverstein's hip starts to get better. The New York Times reports that Vornado wants to change the terms of the deal. They want a 39-year lease instead of the 99 years they'd agreed to. The Port Authority commissioner is not amused. And a few months later, Vornado is out, and Silverstein is back in the game. On July 24th, 2001, on a humid summer day in the city, Silverstein's dream finally comes true.
Mr. Silverstein, please sign here, and here, and here.
Done, done, and done.
He signs the lease on the World Trade Center site. All told, a deal worth $3.2 billion. $14 million of that is Silverstein's own money. Not only is this the biggest transaction in Silverstein's career, the deal is still the biggest real estate transaction in the city's history. That was just a preview of Legal Wars. To hear the rest of this episode, subscribe to Legal Wars on Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, or find a link in the episode notes.